Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. This weekend, the 38th annual American Indian Film Festival will show more than 50 films made by and about Native peoples. As tribes face the modern realities of health epidemics, alcoholism, unemployment, the deterioration of language and culture, and environmental threats, it's more important than ever to recover the true history of Native people and imagine a better future. Since 1975, the American Indian Film Institute has encouraged Native Americans to tell their own stories on screen. And every year, they sponsor the American Indian Film Festival to give Native filmmakers, actors, storytellers, and activists a place to share their vision of the world, what it has been, and what it can be. And joining us to talk about this year's festival is Michael Smith. He is founder of the festival, and he joins me here in studio. Hi, Michael. Welcome back.
Good morning, Rose.
Good morning. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
And we are also joined by Michael Spears. He was born in the Lower Brule Reservation in South Dakota. He's a member of the Sioux tribe. He played Otter in the Academy Award-winning 1990 film Dances with Wolves, which earned him national attention at the age of 13. Michael stars in the film The Activist, which is about Wounded Knee in the 1970s. The Activist is screening at the film festival this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Delancey Street Theater in San Francisco. And Michael joins us from Montana. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you. And we're also joined by Shirley Chichu. She's an award-winning Cree actress, writer, producer, and visual artist. She's best known for her play Path with No Moccasins. Her first break came in 1985 when she was cast on the CBC's First Nations TV series Spirit Bay. Shirley's feature film, Moose River Crossing, is screening at the film festival on Tuesday, November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Delancey Street Theater, and she'll be there to answer questions. And she joins us from Ontario, Canada. Hi, Shirley. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, nice to have you.
Thank you. So,
Michael, I want to start off with you because you've been on the show for the past couple of years talking about the film fest. And one of the big themes that came out of one of our last shows with you is that you've been doing this for 38 years now, and you've had a really hard time getting media attention. What's it been like this year? I'm starting with Michael Smith. We have two Michaels on the show. Go ahead, Michael, and then I'll come to you, Michael Spears.
Hey, Michael. I wanted to say media has really seems to be looking at the negatives part of the Native American experience. And I think a lot of times the media fails to recognize all of the positive attributes that are going on in Indian country. We have a number of social events, ceremonial events, public events that we do as Indian people across the country and in Canada. Yet a lot of those things are not really covered by the media. I think a lot of times major media ignores American Indian events and personalities and actors and films. You know, that's something we've been striving to improve for since we began in 1975. The American Indian Film Institute was established in 1979. Before that, it was under some roving sponsorship and with the United Indians of All Tribes Foundation in Seattle in 1975, the American Indian Center here in San Francisco in 78, and also the National Congress of American Indians in 1979. So in late 79, the AIFI was established here in California and incorporated and received our federal nonprofit status early that next year. So that's a little bit of the history of AIFI, but, you know, we've been here in San Francisco since 1977, producing the annual festival. You know, in the early years, probably the first 4 or 5 years here, you know, we didn't really have a large body of work to showcase. You know, we were a film festival, and film at that time was 35 millimeter and 16 millimeter, and very few Indian people or tribes had, you know, the resources to really develop our people to buy gear and tell our stories visually. So we were mostly showing films. We had maybe 15, 16 films that we would showcase every year. Most of them, probably half of them, came from Canada with the National Film Board of Canada and some of the different reserves.
And again, the film festival is from November 1st to the 10th in San Francisco. And Michael Spears, you received national notice at the young age of 13 when you were in Dances with Wolves in 1990. And you now star in the film The Activist, which is about Wounded Knee in the 1970s. What changes have you really seen over the years when you think about how stories of Native Americans are told?
Well, I think, thank you for having me, hello, Michael, and all the other guests, really. I just wanted to say, with my experience in the film business, Native Americans are playing Native Americans now. that's probably the biggest difference that I've seen. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of the stories are true. And, we are often generalized as a Native people, and everyone thinks, they kind of lump us all together in one big group, and that's not really who we are. We each have an individual tribe, band, people, and these stories are unique to each people now. And with AIFI, we are given a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful venue to showcase our talents and tell our stories visually, through written word, through art. And we get a chance to be individuals and to show our unique talents from our individual tribe or nation. So that for me has been the biggest change that I have seen in the film industry.
And Shirley, your first break came in 1985 when you were cast on the CBC's First Nations TV series Spirit Bay. And your film, Moose River Crossing, is going to screen at the film festival on Tuesday at 7 p.m. What changes have you seen? What really stands out for you when you look back over your career?
Well, I would say that there's been a lot of improvement in our storytelling, and there's a lot of people that are out there who are looking for ways to heal. And I always found that the media of film and television has been a really great medium for us to tell our stories and to be able to heal ourselves and also to try to heal our people. And especially like theater is really strong in Canada, Native theater. So a lot of the stories that are coming to the medium is really a lot of personal stories. And once we've gotten over a lot of our healing, I think that's when a lot of the growth is going to come from that.
And when you talk about healing with Moose River Crossing, it's not a documentary, but it is about something you experienced for 8 years of your life, and that is residential boarding schools. And we've done shows about boarding schools, which is a very dark history for people who've experienced it. It's interesting because a lot of people in the United States don't know about the boarding schools, and they don't know that they still existed well into, it's like the early 1970s, right?
Well, a lot of people in Canada don't even know about it yet, you know, and that is why I think that, these stories are really important to tell. But if you're going to tell a story about residential school, you have to tell the real spirit of those people. You know, you have to bring out their humor. You have to bring out how they're living now, because a lot of them are dealing with it. The stories in Moose River Crossing, they're very deep, but there are also places where they reconcile with themselves, where they find the healing in themselves before they can move on. And that's how stories have to be told. If I told Moose River Crossing with all just the pain and everything, who's going to watch it, or blame, That's another thing that we tend to do in our storytelling. We tend to blame people, and if we stop blaming people and just tell the story itself, I think that's where the power is.
Shirley Chichu is an award-winning Cree actress, a writer, producer, director, and her feature film, Moose River Crossing, about the boarding school experience, will be shown at the American Indian Film Festival Tuesday, November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Delancey Street Theater in San Francisco. And I would also like to welcome Charlie Shope to the show. Charlie is director of the Cherokee Word for Water. A Journey That Transformed a Nation. It was a very important project of the late chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller, before her passing. And her last wish to her husband, Charlie, was to be sure that this film was completed. Charlie, what has this experience been like for you now that this film is completed and will be shown at the festival?
Well, I just want to say good morning to everybody. And this film was, had been in the making for almost 24 years. And
wow.
Christina Keel, who one of Wilma's best friends, had started this way back. And back in the 83s when we were working on the Bell Project, and then volunteer labor was used to install 18-mile water line to bring water to the homes of the people in a poor community. And they had worked on this for some time, going through different script writers and this and that, and it was something for me to be involved in this. And with Wilma, had asked me at the probably a week and a half before she died, we were still working on it, and she asked if I would help Christina raise the money and make sure that the film was done. And so I told her that I was not a fundraiser and that I didn't know anything about filmmaking. She said, "I don't want to hear that, Charlie." She said, "You promised me." Mm-hmm. So I told her I would, and Christina and I started working together. And but I think it's really important for people to know that Wilma was a very devoted and dedicated person to her people. So as far as making the film, when we got into it, it was sort of difficult for me at first to get into the film process, because she died from pancreatic cancer in 2010, and it's just fairly new for me to get in, and still emotional time for me once we got into it. And it was something that I felt like I could do, because I said, this is my life, this is our story. Mm-hmm. And to talk about the story was very rewarding and inspiring. And that was what we wanted the story to do, was to inspire people across the Indian country, across the country, that people could do, come together and accomplish what needed to be done in their communities. So for me, it was something that was totally new, like I said, and it was something that was very valuable now, and the film is doing extremely well as we go around the country showing.
Charlie Soap is director of the Cherokee Word for Water, and it will be shown at the American Indian Film Festival Saturday, November 2nd at 7 o'clock. And Charlie, I just want to read the description of the film, because it's really powerful. Set in the early 1980s, the Cherokee Word for Water begins in the homes of a rural Oklahoma community where many homes lack running water and others are little more than shacks. After centuries of being dehumanized and dispossessed of their land and identity, the people no longer feel they have the power or control over their lives. Based on the true story of the Bell Waterline Project, the movie is about a community coming together to improve its life condition, led by Wilma Mankiller, who went on to become the first woman chief of the Cherokee Nation, and full-blood Cherokee organizer Charlie Soap. They join forces and build nearly 20 miles of waterline using a community of volunteers. In the process, they inspire the community to trust each other and reawaken universal indigenous values and interconnectedness. Michael, would you talk about, Michael Smith, the power of a film like this? Because I would venture to guess that most people have never been to an Indian reservation, especially one in like Oklahoma or Montana, where I visited Browning, Montana in 2005, and they just got paved roads and mailboxes. And when I told people, they didn't believe me.
Well, you know, different reservations across the country are different levels of economic development. You know, I'm from Montana myself. I'm from Fort Peck, Montana, northeast corner. And, you know, I was just back home just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, things are improving, I think, with a lot of our tribes. You know, I think a lot of the early, you know, I was also a child and person of the 70s, you know, and I saw a lot of the poverty that was really apparent that was in our Indian country. You know, I grew up in Montana and Seattle. And, you know, even in the 60s, late 60s, you know, a lot of our prominent tribes in Washington state were very, very poor. There was really no economic development. And, you know, there used to be in the wintertime, the rains came, and every time we'd see on the local TV that the poor Muckleshoot Indians are getting flooded out of their homes and everything, and people, our family too, involved in raising, you know, a little bit of money or food or blankets or something that would take down to Muckleshoot. So it's really been changing environment across the country. I think, you know, there's been vast improvements in the last 20 years, you know, with a lot of the sophistication of grant writing and a lot of the improvements that are apparent in reservation infrastructure.
And that is Michael Smith. He's director of the American Indian Film Festival. It kicks off tomorrow and runs through the 10th. Shirley Chichu is an award-winning Cree actress, writer, producer, director. Her film, Moose River Crossing, about the boarding school experience, is screening Tuesday, November 5th, 7 o'clock at the Delancey Street Theater. Charlie Shope is director of The Cherokee Word for Water. That film screens Saturday, November 2nd, 7 o'clock at Delancey Street. And Michael Spears, a member of the Sioux Tribe, played Otter in Dances with Wolves, and he is starring in the film The Activist, which is about Wounded Knee in the 1970s, and that shows November 3rd, this Sunday, at 7 o'clock at the Delancey Street Theater. And today we're talking about the power of telling our own stories. If you've been to the festival, what really stood out for you? What are your thoughts about how Native people are portrayed in mainstream movies and the media? And how have films by or about Native Americans affected your understanding of Native history and culture? And then if you are Native American, what are your thoughts about how the media really portrays your experience? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. It's important to note that there is no Native American museum in the Bay Area, and so a film festival like this is really important to get these stories out. In fact, I guess it's safe to say that there's one major museum in the country, right? I mean, the one in Washington, D.C. And then there are small ones across the country, but none in the Bay Area, although the Ohlone tribe is trying to build one. You can email us feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Manu in Gilroy, who will be presenting at the festival. Hi, Manu. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi. Thank you. Just to let you know, I'm on Skype, and so we may be kind of disconnected. So I'll do my best here. I didn't volunteer time for Native Voice TV. And Native Voice TV basically has been telling many stories of various Native people from various tribes all over the U.S. and in Mexico. And I am given the opportunity to attend my first time to the American Indian Film Festival. And my interest is basically more in the source of documentaries. And I'm very aware that the media, to me, is a very important tool to get people's awareness about anything. So for me, I would like to see, I think what interests me the most, where I want to meet people, is that there's the AIF Tribal Touring Program, and which basically is reaching out to the youth, and I basically think it starts from the seed. You start at the seed, and you got to nurture it. So I think the media is the way to reach out more people with that type of message. So I hope to meet people in order to get them to be interviewed at Native Voice TV in San Jose, or a remote interview, because the technology's there.
Well, thank you, and you had a great line on Skype, so thank you for calling in, Manu. Michael Spears, can you talk a little bit about that, about the power of media and power of storytelling? And, you know, as an actor in a film about Wounded Knee in the 1970s, I mean, this is one, I'm hoping, one event that most people in the United States know a little bit about, at least. So when you act in a film like this, I mean, what is your overall goal? What are you hoping people learn or walk away with?
Well, as an actor, I hope to inspire, you know, the younger generations, to give them a little bit of a path to follow, a sense of self, you know, to get a movie like this, which tells the truth and humanizes us. You know, we have been portrayed in the past as bloodthirsty savages, basically, you know, just to sell books and for the journalists of way back, you know, in order for them to get noticed, you know, they had to tell lies, and they had to portray us in such a way that made us, you know, not seem human, savages, you know, so to speak. So for me as an actor to be in a film such as The Activist and get an opportunity to tell the truth and to be to keep the integrity of our people, you know, at a level that inspires not only the youth but the rest of the people to say something, to do something, to act, which is, you know, the title of the movie, The Activist. And the power of storytelling through film, for me, you know, I do some traveling and get to work with the children a lot, and I've seen the light that it gives them. You know, they, when they see a native from their tribe, from their people, on the big screen, you know, it inspires them to act, to do something, something to hold on to that will give them inspiration to make a change in their life and to hopefully inspire them to want to be in the movies, want to do something that brings honor back to their people, back to their tribe, back to their stories, because, you know, there's a lot of untold stories still out there to this day. And there's another film that we have screening at the festival called Winter in the Blood, directed by Alex and Andrew Smith, that is also a real powerful story about the coming of age of a young Native Grovan boy. And these stories, you know, that's why I do what I do. And, you know, I hope to continue in this business and to be able to tell more of our Lakota stories, more of our Dakota, Nakota stories, and be able to share with the world who we are and what we're about, and, you know, tell the truth about what really happened, because you don't know who you are until you know where you come from.
You mentor also young children, and we're going to go to a break in about a minute, but what do you hear from them about the stories they want told?
You know, they each have their own personal stories. You know, they want to tell stories about their accomplishments. They want to hear people doing good, you know, because predominantly we are in the media and portrayed in a negative light. And they always say, you know, hey, you know, we're doing good things. You know, I work with the Lakota Five, and they're a running crew that, you know, they run and honor their people, the Lakota Nation. And, you know, stories like that is the stories that I hear that want to be told, you know, and these kids are inspired by seeing, you know, natives in Hollywood and on the big screen. It, the light that comes out of their soul, their eyes, when you step onto that stage and you address them and tell them these stories about how I came from a reservation myself in South Dakota.
And Michael, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Today we're talking about the American Indian Film Festival. It kicks off in San Francisco tomorrow and runs through the 10th. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
Lots of ways to join in today's conversation on Your Call, on the phone, via email, or on our website, yourcallradio.org. The phone number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. The email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll spend the hour with longtime media reform advocate Robert McChesney. He's co-founder of the organization Free Press, and he's led the battle against media consolidation. We will talk about issues like media reform, the state of journalism, media coverage of the NSA leaks, and a lot more. That's tomorrow. And then on Monday, we'll have a debate about the future for public employee pensions in California. We'll talk about the Pension Reform Act of 2014. This is a measure intended to allow cities to adjust their workers' retirement benefits. Opponents say this is an attempt to fix city budgets on the backs of workers. Proponents argue that pension obligations will overwhelm budgets. So, if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are speaking about the American Indian Film Festival. It kicks off tomorrow in San Francisco, and it runs through the 10th. And you can find more information on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today, we're joined by Michael Smith, founder of the festival. We are also joined by a number of guests who will be featured at the festival. Shirley Chichu is an award-winning Cree actress, writer, producer. Her feature film, Moose River Crossing, is about the boarding school experience, and it will be shown Tuesday, November 5th at 7 o'clock at the Delancey Street Theater. Charlie Soap is director of The Cherokee Word for Water. That will be shown this Saturday at 7 o'clock. And Michael Spears is starring in the film The Activist, which is about Wounded Knee in the 70s, and that will be shown Sunday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. And, we have an email from Rebecca who says the Native American Museum in the Bay Area, there's one in Marin. Michael Smith, are you familiar with that one?
I've been out there maybe one time, maybe years ago.
I'd love to ask you all, actually. I'm so glad you wrote this, the email, because it reminds me of the museum that's at Yosemite. And it's a small museum, and it basically has a bunch of big baskets and pretty dresses, but it doesn't really talk about the history of California Indians. And I wonder, you know, what do you all think about how far you should go with a Native American museum? Because the museum in D.C. was criticized by the American Indian movement for being too light. Shirley Chichu, what are your thoughts? Because you said, you know, you don't want to just hit people with depressing information because they might walk away. So, if, you know, when you build a museum, how far do you go and what do you include? Shirley? Did we lose Shirley? We'll try to get Shirley back. Charlie Soap, what are your thoughts on that?
I think the museums are very important. they has a chance to tell a lot about the history of our people. But also, I think instead of just all the bad things that's happened to the Native people, I think the contributions that they make to society nowadays, I think, is very important to tell. I think the a lot of people not favorable in terms of gaming monies that's coming in, but that gives the Native people the power to call their own destiny. As far as, you know, we've been able to build clinics in rural areas and help with education and roads development and all sorts of projects that we get involved in. And I don't think enough of that is being told. And because the Native Americans have contributed a lot to America and still continue to do so. And I think that's those are the kinds of stories that's left out in the museum today. So I think more, they need to be up to date of all the positive contributions that the Native Americans make throughout the country.
And Michael Spears, what are your thoughts?
You know, the people that visit the Natural History of American Indian, you know, they're predominantly tourists. And as far as how far we should go in showcasing our talents or where we come from, you know, it is a sad story, and unfortunately, a lot of the true history has been covered up and has been changed, you know, in the history books and everything. And you know, I know it's a sad story to tell the truth sometimes and to hear the truth about what really happened. Mm-hmm. And you know, they do a good job about showcasing our artistry, our music. But you know, a lot of the real things that happened, for you know, the sacrifices of our people that happened, you know, hundreds of years ago, isn't brought to light in its totality. And our Indian people really don't get a chance to go and you know, the average Native person doesn't get a chance to make it all the way out to the East Coast and you know, see what they have out there, you know. And I've had the opportunity to go out there and to see what they really have there, and you know, they do a good job of showcasing, like I said, our artistry and our music and everything. But I think we need to tell a little bit more of the truth of the stories about what really happened to our people, mm. about the, you know, the disease and the fighting and the sacrifice that was made.
Right, because I mean, the national parks have a very ugly history, and I mean, the Yosemite Museum completely glosses over that. And when I asked one of the volunteers, she said something like, "People don't want to talk about climate change, let alone Native American genocide." So, you know, I think it's an ongoing question. Michael Spears, what are your thoughts? I'm sorry, Michael Smith.
I think we need more. I think, especially here in the Bay Area and California, we need more cultural centers. Mm. You know, I think San Francisco, for one, does not even have an Indian center. You know, we don't really, I think, other than the American Indian Film Institute, there's really hardly any visibility of Indian media, arts, or cultural organizations. You know, we do have our Indian clinics, we do have our Indian alcohol and rehab centers, but, you know, we need something more. And I think that's something that has been pressing. You know, I've worked with the Arts Commission and talking about, you know, why doesn't the American Indian community warrant a cultural center? We have cultural centers for the Black, the Latino, African, Asian. And, you know, Indian people are still, you know, somewhat at the bottom of the totem pole, you know.
Do you feel like other groups that have a hard history ask themselves these questions?
I think they do, but I think there's kind of a tendency to just look at Indian peoples as a forgotten people. And I think museums somewhat perpetuate that, you know, other than, you know, the tribal museums. You know, we have a small museum at Fort Peck. A lot of the tribes are building the museums on the reservations to really tell their story, their personal tribal histories and their cultural attributes. But I think in the urban areas, what's sorely needed is more cultural centers. You know, California is probably, you know, is a state, is a country within itself, you know, and to not have a showcase for our contemporary living people here is really something that really needs to be addressed.
Mm. We're talking today about the American Indian Film Festival, which kicks off tomorrow and runs through the 10th, and the power of telling our own stories. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think of the way Native people are portrayed in movies and the media? And then when it comes to telling the hard, ugly stories about the past, how far should we go, especially when you're talking about telling these stories through film or in museums? What do you think is the best approach so you keep people interested and don't turn them off? And it is interesting to look at other cultures and if they ask these questions and say, well, maybe we should tread lightly. We'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. How have films about Native Americans affected your understanding of Native history and culture? And what are you interested about? There have been some films in the last couple of years about boarding schools, so it seems like that issue is getting a little more attention. What other issues do you think deserve more attention? You can also email us, feedback@radio.org. Michael Smith is director of the American Indian Film Festival. Charlie Soap is director of the Cherokee Word for Water. Michael Spears stars in the film The Activist about Wounded Knee in the 1970s. And Shirley Chichu's feature film Moose River Crossing is about the boarding school experience. And Shirley, are you back with us? Hello, Shirley. Sorry, I think we're having some problems on our line. Can you talk a little bit about maybe, you know, the power of also educating people, Michael? What stories have you heard over the years from people who have discovered the film festival?
A lot of the people that, you know, come up and talk, you know, and it's really a good opportunity for the public to come and see firsthand the stories of our people, but also to visit with people such as the people on our show today. You know, and I talk to people about you know, what's going on reservations. They learned got a little bit of a snapshot of what is happening on a specific reservation. But, You know, I think it's really important that we address, as especially as a film organization, our young people. And through our tribal touring program, we do travel to a number of reservations through the western states, reaching out and working with young people. We've been presenting our tribal touring program for the last 12 summers. We've worked with many tribes in Washington, California, Nevada, Arizona, and one time in Connecticut with the Mashantucket Pequot. But it's important, like Michael Spears was saying, you know, that it's we reach out and we work with our young people, and as individual mentors, as organizational mentors, you know, we need to really see what our young people want to tell and want to express themselves through the arts, through media, and through culture.
And let's go to our next caller. Let's hear from Malaika in Monterey. Hi, Malaika. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, one of the comment I wanted to make was in regards to when it comes to hearing about our history, whether it be Native American, African American, Latino, Asian, you know, whatever culture, a lot of times when, you know, the real story is told, people are turned off. But I think it's because of the fact that they weren't told about it before. Like, we learned so many different things in school, but it seems like we only concentrate on certain areas. So then as we get older and we learn about them, then, you know, we're turned off because it's almost unbelievable that something either so tragic or so bad could happen. And I know, especially with my own heritage, because it's mixed with African, Latino, and Native American. But I know as Latinos, especially my Latino side of the family, we have a tendency to throw the African grandmother in the closet.
So how do you deal with that? And how far do you go?
Well, I mean, you know, I've dealt with it by just knowing, you know, I know my history. I know, you know, all three sides, and I know the connections between them. And I didn't base, you know, my knowledge on what I learned in elementary school, because when I got to college, I learned that what I learned in elementary school was not the, you know, not the whole story at all, like 10% maybe. So, I mean, I think the more that these stories start to come out, I think the more that people become aware.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Malaika. Michael Spears, what is really taught in Montana schools about Native American history?
It really varies on each individual in each individual school. Now, there are full immersion programs that I know about that happened back home in South Dakota, as far as teaching our, revitalizing our language and our culture and everything. I've always been amazed and enlightened by the young people here in Montana that speak their language and know where they come from. You know, as far as how far do you go and what people can do to learn more about the, you know, the subjects that they want to learn about, you know, besides watching a movie or reading a book, you know, and I encourage the people to go to the source, you know, go to the place they want to learn about, go to the elders, you know, and, you know, there are ways to go about doing things that you know, bring honor to the people, and then you get the stories, you get the truth. So I just encourage people to go to these places, to go to the source.
What about Oklahoma, Charlie Soap? When I visited Oklahoma, I was struck by the license plates. I believe they say Native America? Is that right?
Well, it depends on the tribes that issue those tags. And for us, it just says Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. And so I think, like I said, it's just the different tribes have different logos on them. And as far as what's taught in the schools, I think some of those, a lot of the history which has been said earlier was not telling the truth. So we need to be telling our own stories. And in this film that we did, what we were doing was to make sure that our story was told in a way where that we're developing an educational package with this film, but that's still in the making, and that is to tell the truth about our people. And so Also, the film is about inspiring a community where they were told that there were just a bunch of lazy Indians, that they couldn't do the work as far as installing the water line, and it brought people together and inspired them. And then when we take the film to other places, it really inspires people to take things into their own hands and things like that. So, but I think the schools are getting better. I think they're listening. They're willing to listen to us and tell our own stories. But I think we need to develop our own educational pieces for the public, for the students too.
And that is Charlie Soap, director of the Cherokee Word for Water, A Journey That Transformed a Nation. This was the main project of his late wife, the chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller. She passed away, and her last wish to her husband, Charlie Soap, was to complete this film. And it will be shown Saturday, November 2nd, 7 o'clock at the Delancey Street Theater in San Francisco. Charlie, have you been invited to other film festivals? Do you feel like you receive support from other filmmakers?
No, this is my first time, and so it's very new to me. So I'm looking forward to coming to the film festival and meeting other people that's doing films. I think the film is a powerful way to get the word about our Native people. So I'll be a newcomer coming on the block and look forward to listening to talking to people about this. But I think film is a very inspiring way to tell stories about our people.
Michael Spears, is there much support for Native directors and Native actors in the more mainstream film industry? Because there are so many film festivals now. I mean, amazing films being made across the country. But is there outreach?
You know, with the economy kind of coming back, and there are more stories wanting to be told. You know, we do, unfortunately, need money to make a film and to provide the production company with the necessary tools that they need in order to make a movie. But there is definitely avenues, and a lot of film festivals, you know, give you the opportunity to showcase your film. But you know, it's up to the one person with a vision or with a dream to follow that dream and follow that vision and use their ability to go to the film festivals, to ask the questions that they need, to gain the tools that they need to become a director, actor, cinematographer, because there's endless amounts of jobs in this business. You know, you don't have to be an actor or a director. You can, you know, be behind the scenes doing engineering, writing, sound, different things like that. And you know, it takes a lot to make a good movie. It's like a little miracle that happens once a movie is made. But there are definitely avenues which AIFI does provide.
Do you feel, based on your experience as you played Otter in the Academy Award-winning 1990 film Dances with Wolves, which earned you national acclaim at the age of 13, and you're starring in this film, The Activist, about Wounded Knee, do you feel like you have a say when it comes to Hollywood films because they have such an influence and they really shape our view of, for example, Native Americans?
Well, for sure. You know, I've been contacted on a number of occasions as a Native advisor. You know, I get the opportunity to not only play Lakota, but to play other nations and to tell their stories and to, you know, keep the truth alive. And I've done my homework and do think that I do have a say. You know, I do get contacted in quite a few times, but mostly it's me, you know. It's like my grandpa used to say, "Nish nie," he said, "It's up to you, Takoja, to do right by your people, to do right by yourself." So for sure, you know, I do my homework and I try to do my best in every job that I get.
And that is Michael Spears. He stars in the film The Activist about Wounded Knee. It'll show Sunday, November 3rd, 7 o'clock at the Delancey Street Theater in San Francisco. Charlie Soap is director of The Cherokee Word for Water, showing Saturday, November 2nd, 7 o'clock at the Delancey Street Theater. And Michael Smith is director of the American Indian Film Festival. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. How have films and really the overall media shaped your view of Native people? What do you think of the way Native peoples are portrayed in mainstream movies and the media? And when it comes to content, what stories do you think are important to tell? And if you've seen a film that really did shape your views of culture, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And the film festival kicks off tomorrow and runs through the 10th. Michael Smith, because storytelling is such a has such a deep role and there's such a deep tradition and part of the Native American culture, how do you choose these films, and how is that reflected in these films?
Well, we do have a call for entry every year, and you know, the films are all submitted during early August. You know, I really take firsthand accounting into our selection. I look at every film that comes into the festival first. We do pull together a jury, a film jury composed of filmmakers, community people, and educators that review a select amount of the films. We try to be as inclusive as possible, and looking at the content, the story, you know, realizing that there's small budget and no budget and big budget films, you know, that come our way. But the most important part is the accuracy and the story, the content. So we look at that. And that's this past year we had about 145 films that were submitted.
Was there a major theme?
I think it's every year it's different. You know, I think and by region, you know, we see films that come our way talking about personal victories and a lot of the tragedies in our lives. As you've mentioned, the boarding school experience has really been part of the festival. You know, it's not just this year, but, you know, we've had films going back, you know, 15 years. During our big earthquake here in San Francisco in 89, we had a film called Where the Spirit Lives, which was a feature film dealing with the boarding school experience. And, you know, so it's been an ongoing story. You know, here in the U.S., you know, I think the boarding school films really, we haven't seen them. Mm. You know, we have some documentaries, but Canada, you know, has been addressing that issue. And, you know,
their politicians have addressed this issue.
They have, you know.
It's received major headlines in the past couple of months.
Well, there was actual, I don't know if Shirley's back on, but she can speak on it a little bit more. But I know there was a national question posed to the people of Canada and, you know, about the boarding school. There was a lot of testimony taken from boarding school survivors. And the Prime Minister of Canada issued an official apology from the country of Canada to the Native people about the boarding school experience. So it's really something that's important as far as a healing process.
We did a show about a year or so ago about a reconciliation that's happening in the state of Maine. It's the first state in the United States. So it might be interesting to revisit that. Unfortunately, we lost our connection with Shirley. But we have one more caller we'd like to hear from. Let's hear from Daria in Oakland. Hi, Daria. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm honored. Thank you. Well, I don't really have a main point, but I would love to see more or have more information about how African Americans and Native Americans had to do. Well, my family, I'm mixed. I'm African American, European descent, and we have a lot of Native American on the African side. And I would just love to have more information about how they collaborated in the past. So, I mean, I really don't have much of a point, but I think this is a wonderful show, and I would love more movies. I think it's very brave of the people here making these movies.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because it's an issue that you'd like explored. Actually, I was looking at Indian Country Today, and they've got an op-ed today called Our Forgotten Allies, African Americans. And so you might be interested in checking that out, and we'll put a link on the website right after the show. Michael Smith, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, it's, you know, we used to put on a powwow for about 15 years here in Oakland, and we had a very large contingent of Indian, Black, Native people that took part in the powwow, and I think there's been a number of documentaries discussing and exploring that subject. The first film of our second film of our festival is Chasing Shakespeare. It's about an interracial romance and love and life of Danny Glover and Tantu Cardinal are the stars of that film, and that plays on opening night. So please come out.
You've got other films about reproductive rights issues, about young people, about women's voices. In our remaining 30 seconds, anything else you want to talk about that really stood out for you this year?
Well, I wanted to say that we do have our annual American Indian Motion Picture Award Show, which is really a place for our current talent. It recognizes, we will also be recognizing all of the nominees and the recipients of our different acting academies. So do come out for the American Indian Motion Picture Award Show. Michael Spears is one of our hosts for the show. And we do have some outstanding Native talent at the San Francisco Jazz Center, Sunday, November 10.
Oh, great. Michael Smith is founder of the Native American Film Festival. It kicks off tomorrow and runs through the 10th. Charlie Soap is director of the film The Cherokee Word for Water. You can see it Saturday, November 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Delancey Street Theater. And Michael Spears stars in The Activist, which is about Wounded Knee in the 1970s. And you can see that film Sunday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Delancey Street Theater. It's along the Embarcadero. Thank you all for joining us. And thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll have a conversation with longtime media reform advocate Robert McChesney about his new book, Digital Disconnect, How Capitalism is Turning the Internet Against Democracy. We'll also talk about the economics of journalism, media reform, and coverage of the revelations by former NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. What did you see the best reporting this week? Tune in on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.